So next up is Dr. Thomas Reed, who comes to us from the University of Florida College of Medicine, where he is the relatively newly minted chief of chief of gastrointestinal surgery. Dr. Reed's going to be talking about operating on adults who have had inflammatory bowel disease surgery as kids. So left and right arrows.
Thanks, David. Well, thank you for putting this session together. I think it's a huge step in the right direction. And I'm a colorectal surgeon, and in our society, we're beginning to have these discussions about how best to manage these folks on the receiving end as adult practitioners. I have no disclosures other than the fact that recently I'm not doing so well because I just became an empty nester. My one and only, who's also 19, who you can see here is an avid surfer, just took off for UC San Diego. He worked hard in high school, had a lot of choices, but the lure of the waves was too much. And as he left me, you have all these concerns as your kids leave, and one of them is, what happens if he gets sick? And if it hasn't happened to you already, everyone has problems eventually, and Michael's no different. He's had some issues, many of them orthopedic in nature, and including having a tumor resected from his tibia right here at Boston Children's Hospital. And I thought, well, if something happens to him, is he going to understand what he's been through? And now I'm in the business, I have an advantage. I can get the records, I can pick up the phone and call someone, but what if something happens to him when he's 40, 50, 70, 80? Would he have any conception of what he went through and how would he communicate to the providers at that time? So what I've been asked to do today is touch on several of the common colorectal problems that kids have that they eventually come to see us for as adult surgeons. Now the easy ones are the acquired ones, and the hard ones for us are the congenital, but not for all the reasons you may think. And what I'd like to do today is make an ask of all the people who take care of kids in the room, and the ask is to try to partner with us to work on the transition of these patients into our practices in a better way. And I think we can do better. So the first thing we struggle with, and many of you will find this funny because you don't think it's a problem, you have organized systems in your practice, is we have no idea what happened to the patient. Oops, sorry. The patients often don't remember. The parents don't remember, the parents are passed, and the records are archived or destroyed. And for those of you who think this is funny, all the pediatric surgeons in the room, think about how old your oldest patient should be right now. And I'll ask you to raise your hand when I hit the oldest age. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. And that's it. We got to 50. So I just saw a guy in my office when I was at Leahy here in Boston recently who's almost 60, and Hardy Hendren operated on him when he was a kid, when Hardy was a relatively young man. So to expect him to understand what happened or to even get a hold of those records is very difficult. The other problem is that young adult surgeons, that is my colleagues on the colorectal end who are 35, 37 years old, are unfamiliar with the techniques pediatric surgeons were using back in the day. And now I'm an old fart. I don't know what you guys are up to, right? Because I know things have changed. If we try to get the records out of Hendren's house, and he kept them in his house, by the way, he had many of his records in his house, that may take forever. In the old days, we could look at people's incisions and figure out sort of what happened to them, but now with minimally invasive techniques, we have no clue. We can barely even tell someone had an abdominal procedure. Think about Hirschsprung's, for example, what I saw before versus what I see now. So why does this matter? Well, I'd like to touch on some of these diseases and tell you why I think it matters. So for IBD patients who come to us, this is probably the easiest for us. We can sometimes get records, but usually we can stage their disease when they show up. We can estimate how much small bowel they have left, which is really important. And we can sort of figure out their distribution of disease, but we don't really know where their disease was. And sometimes that makes a huge difference when we choose to treat them and especially operate on them. And what is especially important for us as colorectal surgeons is if they've had a restorative proctocolectomy, what's the configuration of their pouch? Some in the room may remember H pouches, W pouches, S pouches, which have all sorts of trouble. I deal with S pouch problems, having made very few of them in my life. I switched to J's back in the 90s. Do they have retained rectal mucosa? Did you do a mucosectomy and hand sew it, or did you staple it? Are they at risk in that transition zone? Polyposis has similar issues. We need to know whether they have a little bit of rectal mucosa left that's at risk. We need to know what their history of upper GI diseases, duodenal adenomas, et cetera. Have they had desmoid tumors? I got one patient sent to me. She'd had 22 operations for intra-abdominal desmoids, but couldn't remember any of them. And as far as I could tell, had her mesh covering her whole abdominal wall, and I had to take part of her colon and rectum out and deal with that. And often kids have had genetic testing, but are clueless as to the results, as are often the patients. So we'll just touch on for a second anorectal malformations and their repair, which is probably the most vexing problem for us when these patients walk into our office decades later. As has been said, almost all of them have some sort of functional problem. Incontinence, disordered defecation is the norm. They also have often mucosal ectropions or sometimes overt prolapse. And it's hard for us to pick a therapy if we don't know exactly what happened to them when they were infants. And yes, we can do all the investigations we have at our disposal with endoscopy, anorectal physiologic studies, defecography, transit studies, but sometimes it would just be really helpful to know what happened to them when they were little folks. So how can we do better? Well, the first step is to do things like this. Get us all in the same room and talk about what we're experiencing from both ends. We need to educate each other. A lot of it, I think, will have to come from the pediatric surgeons to educate the older colorectal surgeons or adult surgeons in general as to what you're doing now for the patients, because the last thing I saw in pediatric surgery was in 1980-something, right? Secondly, we need to give back as adult surgeons and tell you what we're seeing in folks who we take care of. And then we need to coordinate the care better. So I would make a proposal that when people leave your care at any age, that maybe you give them a treatment summary to carry with them. We have to do this now as part of many quality improvement programs for cancer. This is our rectal cancer program, which has now been sold to the college and is online, and it's live now. And there are two requirements for the patients and the referring docs to get treatment summaries. Let's do the same thing for the kids. What I've always done in my practice is to try to empower my patients, and I've given them their own treatment summary. I give them all their op reports and their pathology reports. And I tell them, if the University of Florida gets sucked into a big sinkhole, or you move to Dallas, when you go in to see a doctor, bring this binder, and they ask a question about what happened, and all you have to say is, here. And it's incredibly powerful, and I'm so grateful when I get those reports. I would make one caution. One of my patients took this to the extreme. I operate on her for a locally advanced cancer growing into her iliac bone and abdominal wall. And she was very grateful, so she tattooed my name in her arm with the colorectal cancer ribbon and the date it happened. I'm not sure how much information that will give to the folks on the other side now that I've left Boston, and I don't think we need to go this route. My passion other than my family and colorectal surgery is underwater photography. I started doing video in 1988. I hope I'm much better now than I was then, and I think we as a combined group of physicians can do better in the future than we've done in the past with this problem. Thank you very much.